2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 read, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me a man of God who is complete and equipped for every good work. It's Bob Walther. Bob, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me, Bryce.
Today we have the opportunity to round out our quarter, which has been on the Bible. And we've been looking at 2 Timothy 3, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17, which really, it's one of the most essential passages on what the Bible says about itself in the Bible. And we come now to the end here, which is what I just said in reference to you, Bob, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the last episode we want to do is in reference to that. How do we become complete and equipped for every good work? It is through the scriptures. And that stands behind our rationale as a church for why we preach verse-by-verse expositional sermons. And that's what we're talking about today, preaching the text, this episode is called. I have a little anecdote to start us with, and then I just have questions for Bob. So, here's the anecdote, and it's meaningful in my own life. Years ago, in Southern California, my parents had met. My dad had grown up in a non-church family. My mom had grown up in an ex-Amish family, but she herself was really running from God. They met in Southern California. God worked in their lives. They came to Christ, but they had just become Christians. At least my dad had, maybe both of them, when they decided to get married. So they got married. I mean, they are brand new believers. So they think, well, we need to go to church. Where do you go to church? I mean, my dad didn't grow up in the church, so they ended up going to a few charismatic churches and found some very loving people, some good fellowship. A lot of those fellowships ended up becoming dysfunctional one way or another. They left and had to look for another church. In the meantime, as they're driving, they turn on the radio and they hear a preacher on the radio whom they didn't know, but this preacher was preaching the Bible one verse at a time. Literally, would take one verse, explain it, then take the next verse. And they had never heard that. I mean, never heard that before in any of their church experience. And at first thought, are you allowed to do that? This is kind of weird. But as they listened more and more, realized, number one, they were starting to actually understand the Bible. And number two, it was developing this real hunger in them to know what the Bible taught. So that is what made them determine they were going to find a church that preached that way, one verse at a time. That gentleman was John MacArthur, because it's Southern California, and when we grew up there, I mean, we never went to his church, never visited, but that was the influence he had, just say, hey, we need to find a church that's verse-by-verse teaching. So that's in my own family history. I personally have seen the benefits, the great benefits of verse-by-verse preaching. Some people call this, when we talk verse-by-verse, it's not like a new thing. There's actually a Latin phrase, lectio continua. It was practiced by people like John Chrysostom in the early church, by John Calvin in the Reformation church, where you just take a verse at a time and walk through it. When we say expositional, just so that's clear, expositional, or sometimes it's said expository, it just means the main message of the passage is the main message of your sermon. So we're not just going off on tangents, we're trying to expose the actual meaning one verse at a time. So that's all I have to say as a background here. And now, Bob, I've got some questions for you. I've grown up in this environment of verse-by-verse expositional, and so it's easy for me to forget the fact that I would say probably most churches don't do it. Most churches do mainly topical sermons where you're using scripture, but it's not one verse at a time. Bob, could you help us understand? It's not inherently wrong to do that. It's not inherently wrong to do that. Okay. But could you help us understand what might be some of the potential pitfalls if you're in a church preaching mainly topical sermons?
Well, I'm glad you made the comment that there is nothing inherently wrong with topical sermons. They are not. There's not anything inherently wrong with it. John MacArthur would preach topical sermons. You know, you probably have a series of them. I do. You know, the whole fulfilled family thing he did years ago, and he's done others since. But it has never been the mainstay of his church. The main problem I see with it, it would be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to be comprehensive in the preaching of the word, hopping from topic to topic. And how would you know which topic to preach from time to time? Which could lead to pressure from the congregation to preach things that would tickle their ears. Well, I have family members that are into drug abuse and alcohol abuse. We need to have a sermon on celebrate recovery, on how to recover from alcoholism. Or we need to have a series of sermons on marriage. Or we need to have a series of sermons on personal finances. I mean, the list is endless of things that you could hopscotch from, but there would never then be a real coherent preaching of the word that you have when there is expository preaching. I even know a pastor of a very prominent church here in Evansville, a friend of mine, who I asked one day, how do you decide what you're going to preach on from week to week? He said, oh, when I get up on Sunday morning, just whatever kind of comes to my mind, that's what I preach about. And I was just dumbfounded at the superficial answer that he gave me. I have been in churches that did not teach expositionally, and it's just very, very difficult for a congregation to mature as Christian men and women when you fail to do that, Bryce. Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, I even think of Charles Spurgeon, who's really one of my great heroes in the faith. He did not do verse by verse. He did exposition. Every sermon he preached, he had a passage, and he did expose its meaning, but it really functioned more like topical, and people who know Spurgeon know, it's been said often of him that it really was one of the most difficult parts of his week, he said, was choosing the topic. He would just go through topic. He said that was the hardest part almost of sermon preparation. Say, well, it didn't have to be. It is really hard to get all of the topics in there. Spurgeon could kind of do it because he was brilliant, but the rest of us struggle with that. So I'm going to flip that question around then, Bob. So there are some pitfalls if we're doing only topical sermons. What, on the other hand, would be the benefits of doing verse-by-verse expositional preaching?
Well, I've already mentioned one of them. And, you know, as I thought about this, I came up with five or six that I think are very substantive. First of all, it ensures that we're going to hear God speak, not man. I mean, we know that the Bible is the written word of God. But do we really know that? Do we really believe that? When we really grasp the profundity of that Bible being the actual words of God himself, it elevates it to a whole nother level of authority in the individual's mind and a desire to know it. This is actually God speaking to me. So it certainly minimizes the vulnerability of sermons becoming the thoughts of man versus the word of God. Another issue. It puts the preacher and the congregation in direct contact with the Holy Spirit, who was responsible for delivering the Word of God to the authors. Another issue, which I mentioned earlier as a defect in topical preaching, is that when the Bible is preached verse by verse, book by book, there is a comprehensiveness to it and a wholeness to it and an integrity to it that is very vulnerable in topical sermons. How else could you ever grasp the wholeness of the Bible and the systematic nature of it where Scripture interpreting Scripture and Scripture reinforcing Scripture only by verse by verse teaching can that be accomplished. Another issue, it promotes biblical literacy in a congregation. That's one thing that really impressed me when I first started attending Faith Bible Church, was the level of biblical literacy in this church. Now, we've got to be careful with that, because we know Scripture warns us, knowledge puffs up. We could become very proud of the fact that we're biblically literate. And you mentioned a couple of weeks ago in a sermon, God has some very, very interesting ways of disciplining his people. I don't want to see that happen to me, and I don't want to see that happen to our church by us becoming prideful of how well we know the Bible. But it does, it is good, important to be biblically literate, but we have to remain humble servants of the Lord in the face of that. Another issue, verse-by-verse teaching carries the ultimate divine authority of hearing the Word of God. And I'm going to get a little out on a Pentecostal edge here. There is something in my mind, my opinion, that by honoring God's Word, God does something that we can't even see or maybe even comprehend to bless a church and the people in that church, because we are honoring him at the greatest level we possibly can by honoring his Word. In my mind, it would be better than a preacher just getting up and deciding the morning of the sermon what topic he was going to preach on, to get up and just open the Bible and read the Bible. Just read the Bible and say amen and everybody go home, because it is honoring God in that way. And that is really our primary purpose, isn't it? Every Sunday morning when we walk into that sanctuary is to honor God, to worship God, to glorify God in that. And how better to do that than to honor the Word that he gave us. Another issue, and you are more capable of expounding on this than me, and it really rattled home to me 2 weeks ago in my anecdote that I'll explain in a minute. But the work involved by the preacher transforms him. Little by little, week by week, verse by verse, it transforms the preacher, thereby transforming the congregation itself. The anecdote, a friend of mine, an elder at another church who I meet with on Tuesdays, came in one day and he said, "Bob, you have got to look at this. Look at what AI is doing." He opened up an app he had on his phone and asked this AI app, "Give me a sermon on Romans 12, 1 and 2, 20 minutes long." And I sat there and watched that sermon scroll out on his phone. In 3 minutes, he had a 20-minute sermon, including a closing prayer. Now, the pastor, the preacher who would rely on that, is he being transformed by that, by the hard work it takes to exegete the Word of God? I think not. I think that is a very, very dangerous thing that could be coming at us through artificial intelligence. I think it is a very honorable thing for a preacher to have to labor at exegeting Scripture. Preacher transformed initially, in that just you're going to grow out of that, and the congregation's going to grow subsequently.
Wow, that's well said. I mean, what you're saying reminds me, even in like an Acts chapter 6, when the apostles were faced with a church ministry challenge of those widows being overlooked in the mm-hmm. distribution of food. I mean, that was a big deal. And I mean, it's widows. God loves widows. It's an amazing thing that when that issue was brought to the apostles, their response was, "I'm sorry, we can't be a part of that." And they said, "Well, we'll help to oversee it. You guys pick out 7 men who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We'll appoint them." And the reason they give was they said, "We must devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." That's a definition of a leader of a church, is you are devoted to the ministry of the word. And that does transform you over time. An anecdote in response to your anecdote. I mean, what you said is so right. Some of the sense that people have when they leave a sermon, you want them to feel that they can look at the text you just preached and go, I understand that. If they can't do that, what have you done? You know, I mean, that's the goal. I want them to understand, and that way it has God's authority behind it. I remember when I first started preaching here, I don't know if you remember back then, but I mean, I looked significantly younger than I do now. I already was young, and I looked younger than I actually was. And I hope they don't mind me sharing. I hope Carol doesn't mind this, but John and Carol Wells, she told me afterward, later, years later, she said, you know, when you first got up to preach, John and I went, I don't know about this, because I looked 15. Afterward, it was fine, but I think the reason it was fine, that even when they had me preaching at such a young age, it was because we do verse-by-verse preaching. I think, really, it allows me to get up with a confidence to go, you don't need to hear what a 15-year-old kid, really, is 18, whatever, 20, you don't need to know what I think about things. You need to hear God's word, and I can present that to you. Open your Bible. Let me show it to you. Do you see it? You see it. Here's what God is telling you. And that really, I will say, has helped me significantly, too, to preach with confidence, to know I'm not just giving you my opinions on things. This is really what God's word says.
You know, since I was here mm-hmm. when you first preached. I was not a member, but I was here. And I remember hearing you several times, and certainly, I mean, you were so young looking, but Marianne and I, on the way home after those first sermons you preached here, I said, isn't that remarkable that a man as young as Bryce preaches a sermon, and when after he got into it, his youthful appearance was no longer even, I didn't even think of it. And I say this not to puff you up, but you are a man who spoke with authority. And it's because everything you preached was right out of that Bible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right out of that Bible. So it gave you an authority, even as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've told you before, a lot of churches like to claim that they have a Timothy. Mm-hmm. You were a Timothy in that.
Mm-hmm.
You were a Timothy in that. God has blessed you with that ability to preach the word with authority because you rely on the word. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you out there in listening distance, I happen to know that takes our pastor about 20 to 25 hours a week mm-hmm. to grind that sermon out, to prepare it. It's not grinding to him. He mm-hmm. loves doing the work.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's why the sermons have that quality, is mm-hmm. he is willing to put in the time to make that happen.
Yeah, and really, to have that level of confidence, I mean, that's because it's expositional, verse-by-verse preaching. I mean, it is interesting to me because from time to time, I do preach, I guess what you'd call topical. I mean, I'm teaching a Sunday school on the promises of God right now. But I'm at the point where I found teaching a topic, again, it's not inherently wrong, but for me, it's so uncomfortable that I avoid it. And actually, what I do now, if someone gives me a topic, is I go find a passage of scripture about that topic, and I just exegete that passage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't do that, you're standing on an unstable platform. Mm-hmm. When you're standing on the Word of God, you're standing on a very stable platform.
Precisely. Yeah, that's where the authority and power comes from. And I will say too, I mean, to be fair, there are probably some even personalities, giftings, where someone could preach a topical like a Spurgeon would, and yet be so immersed in the scriptures that it's very clear you are preaching scripture. I just don't have that ability personally. I mean, I'm really not strong in that. But exegeting a passage is pretty much the only thing I can do. That's what you all pay me to do here. I mean, and there is an authority that comes from that. All right, I have a final question for you, Bob, and it is this. What would you say to someone who said something like this? I like topical message because they apply to my life. Expositional sermons do not apply to me as much. They're about things that happened a long time ago. Topical sermons, I see how they apply. I like that. what would your response be to someone?
I would
like
say
that?
That person has never heard a well-done expositional sermon. Pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah.
You've never heard a sermon that was well done expositionally. First of all, it rankles me a little bit when people refer to the Bible like it was some ancient book with no current application. That book is timeless. It was meant for all times, for all people. It is not restricted in that way at all. The thing that it does amaze me is out of these verses in 1 Samuel that you've been preaching on for weeks now, the richness of application that you bring out of them. You know, I know the one that's coming Sunday. And already, I mean, when I saw where you were going with that and read the scripture, I thought, oh my goodness, that is so, so accurate in our lives today. These teachings are timeless in scripture. Mm-hmm. So I would say either that person has not heard good expositional preaching, or they are just biased in a way that's not realistic to the power of the Bible.
Yeah, that's well said. Yeah, I'm surprised by the variety of application. And so people know, I mean, the meaning of a text, it's grounded. It is what it is, and you either discover it or you miss it, you know? So that's the primary goal when you're studying scripture or preaching it. You got to find, you're exposing the meaning. The meaning doesn't change as time goes on. The applications, you have to choose those. And those are yes. Based on what's going on now, what's in people's lives. The key of it is being able to make a bridge over from the meaning into an application that naturally arises from the meaning. So it would not be appropriate to pull the meaning out of a passage and then to make an application that has no connection to it at all, just because you're feeling like it. So I try to avoid that best I can. But it is interesting because I think, you know, it was several weeks ago, we talked about ectopic pregnancies, you know, when an egg implants in the fallopian tube, and there's that ethical question of what do you do there if you believe that's life. And we're in 1 Samuel. You say they were not even discussing those kinds of pregnancies in first. They didn't even know about those. And yet that was something that arose naturally from David eating the showbread. There was an application that arose naturally there. So yeah, I think you're right that expositional preaching that provides applications that arise naturally out of the text are very applicable. And the benefit being you see how the application is coming out of the meaning itself and isn't just a preacher yelling it, but you see it in the text. Well, these are very wonderful points, Bob. Thank you so much for helping us think about this.
Thank you, Bryce.
You who are listening to this, maybe you're already sold on it. Wonderful. But it might possibly be that you think verse-by-verse expositional preaching is overly limiting, or it's not applicational enough, or maybe you do have that sense that the Bible's a really old book, you want something more modern. Whatever the case might be, may God help us all now to think this way.